Channel 7, you called football for them throughout the year. Great aplomb covering the VFL, including that wonderful final series that got so many viewers. And Channel 7 is also going to be our broadcaster for the AFL Women's inaugural season, AFLW, starting on February the 3rd. Collingwood taking on Carlton at Olympic Park Oval.
Yeah, very exciting times.
Where's Olympic Park Oval?
Olympic Park Oval is the Holden Centre, so the venue, of course, across from Rod Laver and High Sense Arena. But yes, the channels of Seven, myself, Jason Bennett will be involved, who's obviously done a wonderful job on the initial women's matches that have been broadcast over the past couple of years. Sam Lane to be involved in the coverage as well, and a few more names to be revealed in due course. But very excited as a network that we'll have a chance to cover the inaugural season of the NAB AFL Women's. And as you said, Friday night, Feb 3, what better way to get things started than the Pies and the Blues going at it?
How many people does Ollie Park hold?
It'll hold a few.
I haven't been to Ollie Park since the Greyhounds were.
Been to a couple of Collingwood intra-club games that, of course, they draw a good crowd to in the pre-season. And there's certainly enough infrastructure, particularly with the Glasshouse Function Centre that Collingwood have put in place as well. So I think it'll have a great atmosphere, as it will across the board. I mean, a number of matches being played at Witten Oval as well that's got the lights installed now. So that ability, I guess, as you want it to be through February and March when the weather's nice, to go and sit out on the grass and watch the footy on a warm Saturday or Friday night or afternoon, I think it'll just be magnificent.
Well, the AFL's head of female football is Josh Vanderloo, and I hope they haven't miscalculated here. I've got a feeling with Carlton and Collingwood, the old rivalry, not quite what it is in the AFL, the supporters might turn out in droves for the inaugural opening of the AFLW season. Good morning to you, Josh.
Yeah, good morning. We certainly hope they turn up in droves, and I think with a strong start to the competition like that, we think they will.
I'm pretty confident that they would turn up, and those who come, what can they expect in terms of quality of football and also maybe a little difference in the rules and the amount of time that the game takes compared to the men's game?
Look, they'll see a fast, free-flowing match. What we trialled with that All-Stars game in September was 16 a-side and a size 4 football, which was different to what the women had been used to playing with. We got really strong feedback from the players that they enjoyed that, and some of the data that we collected from the match showed that scoring was up, efficiency was up, and it was a really open-flowing game, like I said, so we can expect to see that. We've got the best 200 players from around the country involved in this competition. They will have gone through 3 months of an elite training program, some of which will have never done anything like that before, so it's going to prepare them for the season, and that's why I think it's going to be a great start.
Josh, yourself and your team have been working on pulling the entire competition together over a number of years, but tell us about how long this fixture's been in the works and I guess some of the complexities you've had to deal with, not only with 8 new teams, but I guess sourcing venues and trying to work your way around perhaps also the conditions giving the competition's going to be played in the hottest part of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we've probably had a view on the games and had discussions with the venues for some time. So we've had some of that locked down, and it's really been resolving the broadcast agreement, which we announced today, which is a fantastic way how we're going to showcase the game live every match, Channel 7, also Foxtel, and through the AFL app. So some of the complexities we had to consider was that these aren't full-time athletes, so players have jobs and study commitments, so we had to balance the amount of travel. We also had to look at the timing of matches because of the heat, so you'll notice a lot of the games are twilight or nighttime when hopefully it cools down a little bit. Because of that, there's a knock-on effect with venues, and you've got to make sure you've got the right lights and infrastructure in place for broadcast and the like. And then we also had to marry it up with the men's pre-season competition and look at how many games could be double-headers, where should we have games that are stand-alone. And I think we've thrown all that in the mix, and we've come out with a really strong result.
There's a 7-round season with a grand final to be held thereafter. Is that simply a matter of the top two teams playing off?
Yeah, it will be. And look, we haven't finalised the time or the venue. We'll wait and see how things unfold throughout the competition. But what we have left open is that Saturday afternoon time slot.
Josh, you mentioned the doubleheaders, 6 of the 28 matches to be played as such. So marrying up the NAB AFL Women's competition matches with matches in the JLT Community Series as well, that's giving clubs across the board a real opportunity, I guess, to create a festival-type feel for some of these matches. I mean, you look at the match in round 3 on the Saturday night, Western Bulldogs and Melbourne, both in the men's and women's competitions to be played at Winton Oval. Prospect for great crowds, but I guess also a real family atmosphere.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other thing is we're going to trial a few concepts within that. There's going to be matches beforehand, and then there's going to be the women's matches afterwards. And probably further to that, and what may be announced down the track as clubs work through their fixture now that they've got it, is that some of those opening rounds or their first home games, they'll look to have family days or launches for their whole club. So there's going to be a lot of activity happening around these matches, and that all brings further excitement to the competition, I suppose.
Chatting with the head of female football at the AFL, Josh Vanderloo, and whilst most of the sporting public is waiting with great interest to see exactly what sort of football is on offer with the start of the AFL women's competition on February the 3rd, not everybody has embraced AFLW, and I speak of Cricket Australia, who have told their participants through the Women's Big Bash League that if they were to take up a contract or play football with the AFLW and got injured thereafter, that those contracts that they have with cricket may not be honoured. It's a shot across the bow and an indication that there is going to be a battle for elite sports talent here in Australia.
Yeah, look, I think maybe all sports are feeling their way through this at the moment. There's going to be contracts on either side for players. So I think there's four or five of our footballers that will be playing cricket as well. There's also some players that are in the WNBL as well. So we've had good discussions with those other sports. Ultimately, we've encouraged the two clubs, being it football, cricket or basketball, to sit down, look at the players' commitments, their programs. And I think in the first instance, the key thing is there actually isn't any crossover in competition. So the Women's Big Bash League finishes the week before this, the soccer, W League soccer finishes the week before we kick off. There may be some competition crossover with basketball in finals, etc. But at the moment, there's that opportunity for athletes to be dual sports stars, if you like, and that's a good thing. And as our competition evolves, we'll have a look at when the timing is and when matches are played, and we'll take it from there, I guess.